Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Jamie Bologna. The Massachusetts millionaires tax is going to the ballot. After years of political fighting and court battles, both chambers of the Massachusetts legislature gathered on Beacon Hill this afternoon and approved amending the Constitution to raise taxes on the Commonwealth's highest earners. Now, that means the so-called Fair Share Amendment will be put on the ballot in 2022, where voters will ultimately decide its fate. WBUR's Steve Brown was there today and joins us from our State House Bureau. Steve, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Jamie.
So bring us on to the House floor. This is a drama that's been playing out for years. What was the moment of the final vote like?
Yeah, sure. It was anticlimactic and unsurprising. Remember, the State House is still closed because of COVID. So the cheering supporters who were in the gallery 2 years ago when this passed, they were not here today. So it was very quiet and antiseptic. Most everyone knew the outcome of this going in. The final vote was 159 to 41. Support for the amendment actually grew by 12 votes from 2 years ago. The final vote back then was 147 to 48.
So you said quiet and antiseptic, sort of how all things are these days, I guess. What are we hearing from supporters?
Yeah, they are pleased, as you might expect. The Raise Up Coalition, that's the group that backed this amendment, they put out a statement praising the final vote. The statement says that the amendment provides sustainable long-term revenue for investments in transportation and public education without asking low- and middle-income families to pay a penny more. Now, before the vote, a few supporters and opponents made their cases on the floor of the House. Here's State Senator Jason Lewis, a Democrat from Winchester, arguing why this amendment should be put before the voters.
The reason why the Fair Share Amendment is so popular is that most people recognize that our wealthiest residents can afford to pay a bit more in taxes to help fund investments that expand opportunity and make our Commonwealth more just and more equitable for everyone.
So just how much money are we talking about here, Steve? And what is it going to be used for?
The supporters say that this should bring an extra $2 billion, give or take. Opponents doubt those figures, and they point to studies claiming that it would actually bring in less.
All right, so let's hear from the opponents then. What are they saying?
Yeah, they say that this could have negative and unintended consequences. Here's House Republican leader Brad Jones. He says the state shouldn't be changing the state constitution to write tax policy.
If we mess up on this, guess what? 4-year process. So if any of the bad things, some, all, or more of the bad things that some of us have concerns about happen, it's a 4-year process to fix.
So, Steve, why is it a 4-year process to fix? Is it because it's a constitutional amendment that they're proposing?
That's right. Because it's done in the Constitution as opposed to just a piece of legislation, there's this process. The legislature, two consecutive legislatures, has to okay it, and then twice, and then it goes before the voters. So it's a 3 to 4 year process from start to finish. And that's cumbersome. It was intended that way because they didn't want the Constitution being changed all the time. So they made it a little bit trickier. But in order to do this, to tax one group of people at a higher rate than another, that violates the state constitution in and of itself, because the state constitution says that we must have a flat tax. Everybody must be taxed the same. So they have to do it this way. In order to allow it to do it. Now, what Brad Jones had been telling me yesterday and today was that you can say you can have a graduated income tax, but then let the legislature set that tax rate in ordinary legislation that if you pass it and then a year later you go, oh gee, this wasn't a good idea, you can go back and you can change it. You can repeal it. You don't have to wait through that whole process.
And we're talking, again, years here. And this was supposed to be on the ballot in 2018. So just briefly here, Steve, what happened?
Well, Jamie, stop me if I get too wonky in this answer, but I'll try to make it simple.
We're all about the wonk here on Radio Boston.
The amendment was moving forward back in 2018. That amendment originated as a citizens' ballot initiative. Supporters had gathered signatures to, in essence, force the legislature to take up the matter, which they did. Now, the Supreme Judicial Court ruled that a constitutional amendment that is started that way by a signature drive cannot combine unrelated subjects. And the court found that education and transportation were mutually dependent, so therefore the whole thing was unconstitutional. Now, a constitutional amendment that emanates from the legislature can combine more than one subject. Now, this amendment came in the form of a bill filed by legislators, so it should be good to go. Now I'm going to take off my wonk hat.
All right, so might be bulletproof. We'll see. Steve Brown, stick around because I want to bring in another voice here for some analysis. Evan Horowitz, he's the executive director of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts University. Evan, always good to have you on the show. Welcome.
Jamie, it's great to be here. Though it makes me nervous that Steve's taking his wonk hat off. I feel like...
Well, it's so you could put it on because you're a numbers guy. So I do want to talk numbers. Look, I certainly don't make anywhere near $1 million, nor does anybody that I know. So who exactly would something like this impact?
So we are talking about a very, very small number of taxpayers, right? Something like 20,000 tax filers in Massachusetts who earn $1 million a year. And that is what we're talking about, not people who have $1 million in their bank accounts or in the value of their homes, people whose income amounts to $1 million in a given year. So yeah, 20,000 filers, that's about 0.6% of all tax filers in the state.
So a small number of folks, but potentially high revenues, right? I mean, Steve was talking about the sort of $2 billion estimate that supporters are citing. Does that number sound okay to you, reasonable?
I mean, it's in the ballpark. I think, you know, the estimates you'll hear are somewhere between $1.5 billion, $2 billion. And, you know, it'll end up, I think, in that range, though we'll do more work to try to pin that down. And Department of Revenue will do an official assessment before we get to the actual ballot date. I mean, this is a long process. We're here in June of 2021. It won't be put before voters until November of 2022.
And so your center is also going to do an independent analysis of the numbers. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Likely in the fall. And, you know, a lot's going to happen between now and then. I mean, you said, you know, a small number of people, but a large amount of potential revenue, you know, $1.5 to $2 billion, whatever it is a large amount of revenue. The other way to look at it is a small group of filers, also some very wealthy, very powerful filers. So you're going to hear a lot from those people and the interest groups that, you know, stand for them.
Well, you'll hear a lot from them, but I'm also thinking, you know, the future of work, especially for folks at this income level, might look different. You know, working from home, maybe from Florida or New Hampshire, might, or moving. I mean, is that something that could impact the revenue that could come from this tax?
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, this is obviously was near the top of nobody's list for likely impact of COVID. But, you know, when the millionaire's tax was proposed and advanced beforehand in 2017 and 2018, those concerns that people, wealthy people in Massachusetts might move out of state seemed pretty overblown. There is a decent amount of research suggesting that it didn't really happen that much in states that raised their marginal income tax on high earners. There was some movement, but not enough really to offset a lot of the revenue. But the world's really changed. And with the growth of remote and hybrid work, it is going to get easier for people to live in one place and work in another. And it's possible that that research just doesn't apply anymore. And a new tax bracket like this, it's not called the bracket, but like a new surtax on millionaires could have a bigger effect on people's decision about where to settle than was previously thought.
And Steve Brown, you know, I mentioned New Hampshire there, but because there is this ongoing battle right now between the states about income tax collected for folks who are working from home in New Hampshire but work for Massachusetts companies. So are the supporters of this thinking about the impact of folks leaving the state?
Yeah, I mean, the supporters are saying that the argument that people are going to leave is a little overblown, that, you know, the reason why people are here in Massachusetts is the economy is good, their business is good, this is where it's happening, and so they would want to pick up and leave because of that. They're saying that that just doesn't have that merit that people, you know, some people will leave. Of course they will. But, you know, will they be leaving in by the bus loads or the limousine loads or however they leave?
Private jet loads.
Supporters of this say that is not going to happen. That's overblown.
Of course, Evan Horwitz, I'm also thinking about sort of the reporting from ProPublica this week about how little taxes really the sort of top 0.1% of Americans actually pay, something like a true tax rate of just over 3% compared to the average American taxpayer who pays about 14% by comparison. I guess my question here is, you know, by raising the income tax on highest earners, are we kind of missing the point here? We're not actually taxing their wealth. We're just taxing their income.
Yeah. So I'll say first, I wasn't convinced that the phrase true tax rate made any sense, but it's certainly true that for wealthy Americans, it's possible to kind of hold stocks and see the value of those stocks go up, and therefore to have a lot more money at the end of the year than you had at the beginning of the year, and yet not to be taxed on that increase. It doesn't really count as taxable income. And the millionaire's tax is not going to change that. It's not going to tax that kind of income. If you don't sell your stocks, but they get more valuable, you have more money, but you are not taxed on that additional. So that's not going to affect that. But in some ways, that was never the idea behind it. It wasn't about equalizing tax rates across groups. It was a way of saying, Massachusetts has needs, right? We have policy needs, investments in education, K-12, early ed, higher ed, investments in transportation. And, you know, when you want to make these investments, you need to raise revenue for it. And the state, like the entire country, has seen a huge increase in inequality over the last generation. So it made sense to say, look, the people who have benefited the most should contribute to make the necessary investments for the state. So I think that was always kind of the rationale for it, as opposed to some effort to kind of balance tax rates across income groups.
So that's sort of what's at stake there. WBUR, Steve Brown, you know, we saw a huge ballot campaign in 2018, I believe, with the charter school question. Are we going to be seeing this kind of hot campaign this time around?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We have a year and a half to work ourselves into a frenzy over this upcoming ballot initiative or ballot question that will be coming up, the constitutional amendment. Expect to see the opponents who have a lot of money to afford a significant public relations campaign. That can buy a lot of vote no signs and a lot of vote no ads that will be coming to your internet and TV and everywhere else that you look. So expect to be bombarded as we get closer. I'm sure the supporters will be doing that as well. But do they have the funds to really keep up with the opponents? That remains to be seen.
All right, well, we'll stay tuned here at WBUR. That's Steve Brown, WBUR Senior Statehouse Reporter. Steve, thank you.
Thank you, Jamie.
And Evan Horwitz, he's the executive director of the Center for State Policy Analysis at Tufts University. Evan, always great to have you as well.
Thanks, Jamie. I'll leave my wonk hat here on the way out.
All right, I'll wear it for the next segment.